Reading being given for Tara McGrawty on Wednesday, the 4th of March 2020, in Victoria, Australia, by John Rawson. We perceive the individual now, we stand in the hall of records, and we hold in our hands the book of the soul. The book, Tara, is a spiritual metaphor, if you like, symbol. It represents your lives throughout all your incarnations from the time you first came into this earth until now. And what is significant is the colour of the cover and the writing and the symbols on it, because those symbols will indicate the soul's energy, direction and purpose from life to life. The colour of the book is a light cherry red, indicating strong life energies, and that the soul comes into incarnation each time to engage with these life energies, and when it connects with them correctly, then purpose is fulfilled. The symbol on the book, and to me the symbol appears as something done in gold inlaid into the book's cover. The symbol is a double-headed eagle. On the one side, facing, as I face it, it's my left, it's white and silver, and on the other side, the wing is black streaked with gold. And this symbol is a very powerful symbol. It indicates that the soul is filled with the need to create and to make changes within the world, but from life to life there's going to be a split, because sometimes the soul will make changes in a very positive way by doing wonderful things, and sometimes it's going to make changes in a negative way, and that in such situations it will manifest as a destructive, harmful energy. So that the purpose of the soul is to unite these two energies so that there is no longer a split or division within the soul itself, but that the soul becomes unified within itself, and from that point on creates change in a unified, progressive, transformational way. And I'll try and explain all this a little bit later. The name on the book of the soul, and this is not written in English, but I'll translate it as far as I can, is the one who overcomes. And that will mean that we will probably see a pattern of lives from one life to another where the soul is trying to overcome obstacles, dysfunctions, disharmonies within itself. It's going to indicate that there will be lives of struggle. And already I can answer three of your questions straight away, but I'm only going to give them one aspect of an answer. Where do I look for happiness? It's really simple. It's in fulfilling the energy and the purposes of the soul, which of course brings you to question number two. What is my purpose in life? Well, the purpose in this life is certainly to overcome very difficult obstacles. And it's not through our achievements so much that we progress, strangely enough, it's through our struggles. So the more struggle a soul engages in, the more it develops character, strength of will, determination, perseverance, endurance, understanding. And why have you been through so much pain? Well, the simplistic answer, Tara, is because you designed this before you came into incarnation. That's a simple answer. Of course, that's not answering your question, and I realize I haven't answered your questions from where that they will provide a correct answer within your own thinking and understanding, but we will come back to them as the reading progresses. But let me just put it this way. Before you came into incarnation, you had a consultation with that being that we call the Lord of Karma. And the Lord of Karma is that being who has oversight over our karma and the debts that we owe others and the debts that we owe ourselves. And if you like, certain souls, and you were one of them, are deemed capable of choosing their own karmic script, their own life script, if you like. And what happens is that the soul writes it down on a beautiful piece of white paper. You can imagine that. And it will say, I want to balance my karma with my sister, my mother, my father. I want to balance my karma with this person, with that person. I want to pay back certain debts that I have accumulated from previous lives, where perhaps I've inflicted pain and suffering on others. And so in recompense, I will accept in this incarnation that others will inflict certain pain and suffering on me. And I will accept that this is necessary in order to balance the karma. Now the trouble is, Tara, that sometimes souls are a bit ambitious in what they take on. And the Lord of Karma rarely says to the soul, no, that's too difficult, because that would stop the soul from learning. The Lord of Karma says, yes, I'll sign off on that. And off the soul goes, comes into incarnation, it's born, it grows up as a baby, grows up in a family, and off life goes. Now the trouble is that before you came into incarnation, you were rather demanding of yourself. You took on a really difficult life path. Now, that's because you wished to quickly rebalance certain events that happened near the end of previous lives. What we do in the first 20 years is we what first 28 years really, is that we balance a lot of karma, a lot of debts, with people whom we lived with, worked with, fought with at the end of a previous life. And you will find that you are just about through the very painful part of your life. By the time you're 21, the wheel of karma, the wheel of fortune, the wheel of life has turned enough so that it's now starting to come up. And whereas you may have found the first 20 years of your life really difficult, painful, destructive even, certain self-destructive energies that are coiled within the aura, nevertheless you have coped with them, and don't forget that your soul's motto is I shall overcome, and you have overcome. It takes another year or so before you realize that you have in fact overcome. And that then your vision changes from 21 to about 28. You will be able to build your life. You'll be able to look at study, at work, at career, at relationships. And that will be a more fulfilling 7 years than you've had, say, in the last 7 years. Last 7 years would be really difficult. The next 7 years, the last 7 years are, it's as though the life falls apart, or the energies within the life explode, and you don't really know who you are anymore. And so it's a terrible struggle to discover who you are. Well, now that you're out of that period, you will start discovering that who you are is the one who overcomes. Now, that's a really, really significant life's purpose, by the way, because it's not just important to you that you overcome, but when others see you overcoming and not being destroyed by the negativities in life, but coping with them and making them work for you, when others see that, then it helps them to overcome as well. So it's a powerful energy that you have. It's a huge challenge, but then your soul has so much energy and so much development within it that it's capable of doing this within self. And as life goes on, you'll find that you're assisting others to cope with their own pain, their own grief, their own feelings of inadequacy, their own destructive thought patterns. And that's because you have overcome these within self. Now, that's not the end of it, of course. By the time you get to the age of 28 and 29, your life will undergo a transition. So whatever you've been doing up to that stage, it will probably be a fairly moderated, easygoing transition between 28 and 30. But when you get to the age of 30, that's when we say that the soul comes in and takes charge of the life. And up until now, until the age of about 30, the soul is more like an observer in watching a play. It has some input and it can do some things. Perhaps it's a director. And the director can't act on stage, but the director can give some instructions to the actors. So by the time you get to the age of 30, your soul steps on stage and becomes the lead player. And that's when life changes. And as life goes on, we will see more and more that you will have access to stronger and stronger energies, and you'll be able to use this energy to create change within the world. Well, that's the beginning. We can see within the book, when we open it up to this present incarnation, what the aura colours are. And on that's on the right-hand page. On the left-hand page, there's a sort of a motto for this life, which is watch and act. Or it could be wait and act. And that's an interesting thing, because it indicates that you've had past lives where you were quite impatient and rushed into things without waiting, without watching. You acted and then you watched what happened. So in this life, watch, then act. And that's a really difficult thing to move into, because as we come into incarnation in the first 28 years, then we're acting out old behavior patterns. So perhaps in this life you haven't watched or waited very long, but you've got stuck into the acting bit. and perhaps sometimes reacting as well, that you're very sensitive to your environment, and I'll come to that in a second. Very sensitive to the energies and the auras of other people around you, and you pick up, as it were, thoughts and ideas from other people without even realizing it, and then because of that sensitivity, they come into your energy body, and then you act them out yourself. So some of the things that you've done in this incarnation are not really from yourself, but they are copies of energies that have come to you from other people. So you need to be careful in close relationships. That's with family, with people that you have a close physical relationship to, close friendship relationship to. Just remember that part of your purpose in this incarnation is to be more objective and less reactive. So watch how other people affect you. Wait, and then make a decision about how you are going to act. There's a difference between responding and reacting. Reacting means that one takes action like a boomerang. That's not a very good analogy. Like a rubber ball bouncing off a wall. You throw the ball reacts. When it hits the wall, it bounces back at you. That can be the sort of behavior that we adopt early in life. But what you're being asked to do is to respond. And that means that when the ball hits the wall, the mind comes into action and says, does a calculation very quickly and says, if I move 2 feet to the right, I can catch the ball. And that's the response. So the next 7 years, 7 to 8 years, are about trying to establish response patterns and rely less on reaction patterns, if you can grab that. The auric, as we see it at the moment, a bit of a mess, really. It's got a lot of colours in it, and except for perhaps the first colour, no, nothing has really settled yet. Which, don't worry, that is par for the course when you're about 20, 21, 22. The aura colours don't settle properly till you reach your 30s, and even then they can change. But what probably will stay constant is your first colour. But before I come to that, I'll just say that there are energies within the aura, and these energies push out and then pull back. They push out and then they pull back. And what that means is that there are energies working within, I say within the aura, but they would come out as energies working in your life, and that they will. When they push into the aura and expand, then things happen to you. Events happen, relationships with people happen, and then when the energies pull back again, then you probably regret the actions that were taken. You probably feel remorse in some way. You want to, as I say, react to what happened. And so that you withdraw into yourself and become not depressed, but very, very inward focused. And the whole purpose of life is that as we grow older, we become better at the game of not being attached to the events that come towards us, but we become better able to be the observer and watch what happens. And it's really helpful, and believe me, people don't usually come to this till their 60s and later, so here's a chance to get ahead of the rest. It's really difficult to disengage one's attachment to what happens in life. It's very, very difficult. And yet, until we manage some sort of detachment, disattachment from what happens to us, from who we think we are and who we think all the other people are, and then we can't move forward, or the soul can't move forward, because the soul knows that it's doesn't belong in this world. It doesn't belong in this world where mean things happen, nasty things happen, people are aggressive, people betray, people let you down, people hurt you. The soul knows it doesn't belong to that world, and so the soul, as it were, because it knows it doesn't belong, the message that it sends is, you don't belong to this. And sometimes we misinterpret that, especially when we're in our teenage years, because we think that means, oh, I don't belong, I should leave this life, I should die, I should get out of here. And that's not what the soul's saying. What the soul's saying is, don't attach yourself to the world. That if you can learn that, you'll become enlightened on the spot. So give it a few years, probably about 50. The colours. The first colour is light red with deeper red streaks in it. And there are little red coils at various parts of the aura. And some of these are over the spiritual centres, for example, over the will centre, one over the heart centre, one over the gonad centre. And these little red coils represent dynamic energies that operate within the aura. And when they are stimulated, they are like people or personalities that take over. They're like a spring that you trigger, and it goes, it bounces away. And these create different personalities within us. So there are different Taras, but that's nothing to be worried about. There's a Tara that's loving and warm and kind and generous. There's a Tara that's broody and reactive. There's a Tara that tells people to... Well, I won't... This is a reading, so I won't be impolite on your reading. But tells people to go certain places. And there's a Tara that says, I deserve this. And these are all not the real Tara. You understand? These are just aspects of the... what they are really is, they are memories of previous lives, and they sit within the aura, and until they are dealt with, they have to work their way out into your consciousness, and they do that by tending to change your consciousness so you become a different person. But who's the real Tara? Well, the real Tara is the light red. A light red is a most wonderful colour to have as the first colour, because it is the colour of life. It's someone who's playful, warm, engaging, loves to embrace life, has a great sense of fun, has a tremendous ability to do things as an individual. It's a very individual colour. It gives tremendous energies within life, and if you will allow it to express, if you allow this aspect to express, you'll find it's also a very healing colour, that it brings colour and life and energy and vitality into your existence, into your physical body, into your mind, into your actions. And if you have light red as the first colour, then your purpose is to be a creator in this life. So just remember, you are going to create. Now, I don't necessarily mean that in an artistic way, although because of the second colour, as we'll see in a moment, that may well eventuate. You may well become an artistic, very artistic person, and pursue, certainly the next 6 or 7 years, a very artistic direction. Light red is a fighter, and often comes from incarnations where you were literally a fighter, a soldier perhaps, a general, a commander, a leader in some way. So again, it contains within itself the ability that you could lead, you could command others, you could direct, and you can fight for what you consider is the right thing to do in life. It's an inspirational color, and as you learn to work with it, you can be an inspiration to other people. People follow light red people because light red connects. Sometimes it connects, that connection is it doesn't work very well because you might connect with the wrong sort of people. People who take advantage of you, or people who use you in some way, or people, sometimes you particularly when you're younger, you may find that you have spontaneous attractions to or from other souls, that others are attracted towards you and want to be with you. And then, because this is a karmic thing, then that dissolves, and there's some sort of sadness, depression, there's a regret that's left after that you have to cope with. But just remember that in the positive sense, light red will mean leadership. The second colour is light rose. Lots of light rose all around outside the light red. And the light rose as the second colour is to do with the thinking and the understanding, the way we react to life. And light rose is the colour of sensitivity. When you have that strongly, then you're like a sponge. You soak up thoughts, feelings, impressions from your environment and from those around you. And it's really difficult when you have that light rose there to establish what it is, who it is you really are, and not to be acting out the energy that you pick up from someone else. I would think that as you work with this over the next few years, the light rose may well change. We sometimes need to work on certain aspects in order to change the colours so that we develop different gifts and abilities. The gift of the light rose is twofold. First of all, I've already said it's sensitive, but secondly, it's very artistic, often associated with people who have an expression in art, sometimes visual art, sometimes movement art like dance or mime, possibly music, because you've got greens within the aura as well. But it's someone who needs to live in a beautiful environment. You don't need to live in a place that's small, cramped, dirty, ugly. Nope, you need to live where you've got flowers around you, trees, beauty of in whichever way you can manage that. And you need space in your life too. Like rose people need to have space so they can spread out, and they're better on their own, which is an interesting thing, because light red tends to want to have relationships, but light rose actually better on their own, because then they don't feel encroached on by the energies of others. Oh, there's another gift of the light rose which you may experience, and that is it can be make you very psychic, very intuitive. And you, again, it's to do with the sensitivity, picking up thoughts. And sometimes the thoughts that you pick up belong to someone else. So when you have thoughts coming into your head, just ask yourself, is that my thought? Because it may not be. And if you can start doing that, and then start working at things on a more practical and grounded level. For example, if you want to be an artist, then work with an art that's quite earthy, paints that you have to mix up, pottery that you have to work with, sculpture perhaps, or working with the earth would be really, really good at this point in time. Creating beauty in a garden, this would be really good because you really need to bring in some of the browns and the yellows into the aura in the next 7 years. Doesn't matter what career you pick in the meantime, as long as it means that you start working on a very practical level to achieve whatever you've set your mind on. Doesn't matter if you're working in a part-time job or if you're just taking on casual work, it doesn't matter, as long as what you're doing links you in some way with the earth. Cooking, preparing meals, feeding others, these are things that will connect you with the earth and bring some of the more practical, grounded colours in. And when that happens, you'll start feeling the stability to a much greater extent in your life and your consciousness. Now, the next colour is green from the shoulders. Greens.
Shoulders.
We don't have a third colour at this point in time, but we have greens from the shoulders. Within the head are purples. The vortex is yellow. Sort of a brownish yellow, really, which is good. Purple in the head. The yellows coming into the head is going to be very helpful, and says to me that you really need in the next few years to be using that mind. Have a good mind and be great to be doing some sort of study or some sort of work, which means that you have to think more logically and rationally and to make deductions and make decisions based on thinking. There's watching, understanding, analysing and deciding. If you can work with something in that field over the next few years, and however humble a way it may pan out, it will be very beneficial. The cosmic colours as we see them at present, above the head, light yellows, and below the feet, yellow-brown. The aura contains within itself certain symbols, and these represent energies that you have brought from previous lives. Usually the symbol on the left is a female warrior in armor holding a shield in the left hand and a spear in her right. And that's something that is in your, because on the left hand side it's in your unconscious. That's something that you don't see about yourself. On the right hand side, which is your consciousness, is a hand mirror. Now, one of those mirrors that you hold up from a handle and you can look and check your makeup or check that your hair's done, one of those sorts of mirrors. Then in front of you, and this is an interesting symbol, what's in front of you is what you're dealing with at present. And that's a large, brown, fluffy rabbit. It's quite a gorgeous symbol. And it's funny that it comes there because it's quite opposite to the symbol on the left. The symbol of the overself hovers above the head, about 6 inches above the head. Now the symbol of the overself indicates the processes, the life processes that are working their way out at present. And the symbol is a nest with 3 eggs in, and birds are breaking out of the nest one by one. And the birds are little eagles, they're eaglets. And they're just coming out, they're coming out in order. First is comes out first, the second comes out second, third comes out third. They're not all coming out at once. And the first has already dried its wings and it's perched on the edge of the nest. Now that symbol we'll come back to a bit later. But it's a very powerful symbol and indicates tremendous energies working within the life and tremendous discoveries that you're going to make about yourself. In the next 3 years, this symbol would indicate that you're going to feel you've made breakthroughs, three breakthroughs, and that you're able, you want to take flight. But we'll come back to that, as I say, later. The aura colours are created from previous lives. So the light red, which is your first colour, the first life that we see, you're in a male body in this incarnation. And you're, what's the name? I'd say it's about the 14th century, I think. You're part of the Mongol tribe or Mongol race. And you're in the army of the Great Khan, the Great King, and attacking the Empire of China. And in that incarnation, you're a leader, quite a high-ranking leader, like a general. And you lead from the front. So I see you as this fearsome warrior with a spear in one hand, standing up in the stirrups, and there's capes flowing behind you in the wind, and you're leading your troops to destroy the Chinese army. And in that incarnation, the horde, the army of the Mongols, overcame the emperor, the Empire of China, and conquered China. Now, that's an interesting life because it promotes two things. First of all, you can be a leader. And there are lots of ways that we can achieve leadership or command or direct other people. One is through weakness. That's the yin way of doing it, by trying to make ourselves a victim and to persuade others to look after us and control their actions like that. That's the yin method, the feminine method. But the other method whereby we can establish control is to take action ourselves and make change happen, to be a leader. And you have great potential to lead. Perhaps you don't know where to lead yet, but you have great potential to lead. And of course, the first person we ever lead is ourselves. Can't expect other people to follow along unless we're leading ourselves first. So it indicates to me that in the next 3 to 4 years, your independence, your need to separate yourself from the past and move into new areas of life to conquer and make changes will become much stronger. Interesting aspect of that life is that as the general, you had the pick of of the slaves, and so you had a set of women who were concubines, your mistresses in that life, and you're going to meet with these women throughout your life, and there's going to be perhaps a sexual interaction or a sexual encounter, but it's not one that you would want because in that incarnation, these three wives, or these three mistresses, concubines, they didn't want this, they were forced into it. And you may find that there's a couple of times in your life where the reverse happens, that you're forced into some sort of relationship or sexual encounter, and it's against your will. Or perhaps it's not at the time, but then afterwards, you may regret it and you may feel wounded or hurt. Now, that particular aspect of karma will be completed by about the age of 28. And if you've experienced that already in this incarnation, then you will understand that it's simply a balancing of karma. And the interesting thing is, Tara, the way we know this is that when we have a really bad relationship experience with another person, we don't want to take revenge because part of us understands that the scales are now equal. One for you, one for me. We're all equal. And that means that in later lives, we can have real relationships with these individuals, and we will encounter them again because when you have sex with someone in a life, that creates a bond that will be there in future lives. Incarnation in South America, about the 8th century. This is a really difficult incarnation because in this incarnation you were in a female body. You were very beautiful in that incarnation, which was actually an unfortunate thing because the priests, when they toured through the provinces, selected you to be one of the sacrifices to the god. And so you were taken to the main city, and for a year you lived the life of a wife of an emperor. You could have anything you wanted. You were fed the greatest delicacies and you loved food in that incarnation. And at the end of that year, all your beautiful clothes were taken from you, the feathered and jeweled headdresses. You were clothed in a very plain robe and you were sacrificed. To the god. the sacrifice was so that the country, the land, would be renewed for the next year, and that the spirit of the people would be increased and enhanced by the blood sacrifice. Now, that's going to have interesting repercussions in this life, because in that life you were very beautiful, and what the beauty did was make you a victim. So in this incarnation, you are going to subconsciously want to there'll be a destructive thought pattern at the root of some of your behavior, and it says, I don't want to be beautiful. And of course, it doesn't put it like that. It says, if I don't eat, I'm going to be safe. If I don't have beautiful things, I'm going to be safe, because if I eat and if I look beautiful and dress up and do all the rest of it, I'm going to be sacrificed. Now, of course, you're not going to be sacrificed. That life has been and gone, but do you understand how there's a memory there? And it's the memory that you've been dealing with in the last 3 or 4 years, perhaps longer. Now, the good thing is that you are past that. That memory you can release and let go. And you can move on. And you will find in the next 7 years that you're, instead of the thinking and the memory being trapped to some extent in these old patterns, that you're creating new patterns. And we create new patterns by doing new things in life, taking on new activities, getting out and being involved with life. The more we do this, the more we create positive energies within the psyche, the consciousness. And perhaps you can see how brave your soul was before it came into incarnation, because it's had these painful experiences in previous lives, and it has chosen to release them in this incarnation. Sometimes it takes many lives to do that. So in this incarnation, one of the reasons for coming into incarnation is to release that past pattern and to again observe self. Again, you watch and you wait, and then you take action. The light rose, as I've indicated, artistic, sensitive. You had an incarnation in Egypt about 3,000 years ago, probably 5,000 years ago, before the pyramids were built. And in a female body, you were a priestess in the healing temple. And there you were very, very psychic, very clairvoyant. And you were trained so that you could go into sort of trance at will. And there you could perceive the causes of the illnesses and the disease that people were suffering. And in that incarnation, you worked a lot with people on the soul level. You helped souls become adjusted to the body. And you worked a lot with souls, with individuals whose souls had been ejected forcibly from the body in some life or another. And you had the ability there to help guide souls into the body, but that was a very unstable life in a way because of your sensitivity. You couldn't actually live in the world, and you had to live within the small community on your own. So you couldn't have a relationship with someone because it would have disturbed your ability. And so in this incarnation, it's interesting that you still have the light rose and the ability to work with souls. And as you grow older, you may find that you're working with souls in a much more developed way, that you're assisting souls to adapt to and adapt and make changes within their life and perhaps within the physical body as well. And it's a sort of a healing, but not like a doctor or a nurse, but rather possibly someone who ends up as a psychologist or a counselor or a therapist in some way. But there would be something unusual about the therapy or the counseling or the way that you did it. And I could see you, for example, working with things like precious stones or herbs and aromas and things that are very almost new agey. The reason for that incarnation comes from Atlantis, where you died in the wars with the negative forces there, and your soul was thrown out into the region between lives. And for many thousands, for 50,000 years, you didn't incarnate. And it wasn't until the Egyptians were able to develop the methods in the healing temple that your soul was brought back into connection with the physical body. And it's interesting because when you have that experience, then you develop the ability to help others in the same way that you were helped. And so that in the next incarnation, you incarnated back into the healing temple, as I've already indicated, and took on that role to assist others to return into the body. And when you have the incarnation such as the one you had in Egypt, where the soul is torn out of the body, that sometimes has repercussions in this incarnation, because sometimes there's a feeling of dread or a feeling of hopelessness or a feeling of being lost, a feeling of being incapable, unable to act, helplessness, I suppose, is as close as I can get, that you're the victim of other forces. But you see, what brought you back was the expression of healing and the expression of love from within the priesthood of that of the temple. And the purples within the head, by the way, show your connection with the priesthood in that sense, and shows that you have had lives as a priest where you've been the mediator and helped other people spiritually and physically. And it's not the time to do that now. The time to do that now is going to develop later in your life. The greens from the shoulders, restlessness, need for change, want to make change within life, great for travelling, by the way, probably means that you'll travel extensively, probably around the world or to countries overseas when you're a bit older. And that's great. Travel would be so beneficial because the soul has in a sense been starved of spiritual connection. And if you go to Europe, for example, you will reconnect with the incarnations that you've had there in Spain, in France, Germany, England. You've had incarnations in all these countries, Italy. And if you ever come back to me for another reading, we will discuss some of these incarnations. But they are out there, and when you get a bit older and you reconnect with them, then you'll discover quite different potentials and possibilities within the life. The yellow vortex indicates thinking, intellect, intelligence coming in, greater reasoning ability, greater detachment and objectivity, which would be great because those two things would be very helpful at this stage of your life. The cosmic colour above the head, light yellow, which means that you probably be associated with thinking, writing, communicating, speaking, helping, teaching within your future. And below the feet, we have the yellow browns, which means that a greater sense of direction and purpose, in a very practical sense, is going to come into your life. Let's look now at the images within the aura, and as I said, they indicate energies that are there unconsciously, or actually all can be conscious as well, but the left hand side is the unconscious, and it shows a woman warrior in armor, shield, spear, helmet on her head, and this is what you don't see about yourself. You don't see that you're ready to fight. You're ready to take action. And because it's on the left-hand side, that tends to be reaction or negative action. And what needs to happen is that you realize you have this incredible capacity to take on the world, so to speak, and make changes and lead. And it needs to be something you do consciously, not unconsciously. On the right-hand side, this beautiful hand mirror, and of course, this is something that's in consciousness, and it means that you're looking at yourself, but you're not seeing yourself clearly. The mirror is deceptive, it's illusory. What you see in the mirror is not quite who you are. It's a projection of the energies operating within the mind and the thinking and the emotions that create a picture, and that picture is not right. So you need to put down the mirror, and you need to take the warrior, the goddess Athene, out from the side and bring her front and center for a while, and the rabbit, which is in front of you, means that there's a softness. You long for softness and cuddles and comfort within the life. But alas, that's not what your life is about. It's not about being comfortable. It's about, we'll come back to that. It's about something quite different. And of course, we all expect to be happy and be comfortable and find contentness, but that would be very surface. Let the rabbit hop away, send it off to someone else who needs all those cuddles and affection, which is fine in one way, but it's not real, you see. So get rid of the rabbit. And finally, now this is real, the symbol of the overself, three eaglets hatching from a nest. Boy, the eagle is a potent symbol. It's the highest of all the birds because it soars the highest. It has the greatest vision. It is the commander, it's the emperor of the birds. And you will recall that your soul symbol is a double eagle. And that means from life to life, you have to develop the eagle part of yourself. And the eagle part of yourself is the ability to leave behind the things that are holding you back and take flight. Aha. The birds are only just hatching. One of them's perched on the edge of the nest, but we know that it's not ready to fly yet. So you have to think about this. You have to think and manage your life carefully. But over the next 3 years, these little eaglets, they're going to develop and they're going to start taking flight one after another, and they will represent three achievements within your life. You will start becoming more independent. You'll start taking off in your life, and you'll start seeing life from a completely different perspective. And this, you have the soul of a warrior, the soul of a fighter, the soul of someone who is not defeated by what appear to be impossible odds. And when you combine this determination, this inner energy to achieve, that you may not quite recognize about yourself, but boy, is it there. When you combine that with the eagle, which is going to fly, then in a few years' time, your soul will take flight. Your life will take flight. And you will see so much more about yourself and about the world than you had ever thought possible. And you will become aware of the soul's code, the soul's motto. I shall overcome. And not only will you overcome, but you will assist the world, even slightly perhaps, but slightly is it's good. You will assist the world to overcome in its turn, and that would be a great destiny. So shall it be.